Tonight on The Download, Blackhawks star Patrick Kane, former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, and WGN's own Steve Cochran. And now, here's your host, a man who just bought a new Derrick Rose jersey yesterday, Justin Cochran.
I would have waited like 2 days. I get that thing at half off. I wonder what this means for my Jay Cutler jersey. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. What a night for Chicago sports. What a night for Chicago weather. What a night for Chicago. 312-981-7200. There's going to be a lot to talk about tonight, whether it's severe winds and possible tornadoes or severe winds. For the Hart Trophy and the MVP for Mr. Kane. Or severe regrets for Derrick Rose? I'm trying to keep the severe thing going. There's a lot to talk about, a lot going on tonight here in Chicago. Coming up after the 7:30 news, I'm very excited to welcome former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn to the program. He is going to be talking about his new petition move to take charge Chicago, essentially to bring term limits to the mayor's office here in the city of Chicago. If he gets enough signatures by August, that will be on the November ballot. We'll talk with Governor Quinn about that, about the other things he's working on since he left the governor's mansion, and about the art of balancing a budget. We'll talk with Quinn coming up here after the 7:30 news. At 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to bring in a new guy. He's new. We'll see if he sticks, Pete. I'm not sure if he's going to stick. Steve Cochran?
It's Cochran.
Cochran, right. Mm-hmm. Steve Cochran's going to join us at 8 o'clock. I'm so excited to have him here. He and John Williams. John Williams is going to join us a little bit later, too. WGN royalty in the house tonight. Steve Cochran's going to play sort of our Blackhawks expert and talk about the NHL awards, which are happening now. Good money is on the Chicago Blackhawks star Patrick Kane for winning the Hart Trophy. We will talk with Patrick Kane if he wins. We will see. Is it up now? What do we got?
Yeah, Justin, just got an alert from the National Weather Service. It has issued a tornado warning.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, tornado warning for southeastern Lee County. That's in north central Illinois. This will be in effect until 7:45 tonight. Flying debris, dangerous. Those caught without shelter, mobile homes, of course. Watch your windows, roofs, and vehicles as well. The tornadic thunderstorm will remain over mainly rural areas of southeastern Lee County. That's including the following locations, West Brooklyn and Compton as well.
Huh.
There you go.
There you go. Well, I was about to make a transition to severe weather, and Rob Martier is going to be with us all night. Meteorologist Rick DeMaio is going to join us. We're going to keep you up to tabs on all of the news happening around the weather tonight. As you see the first tornado warning on this storm that is moving through the area quickly. We heard Tom Skilling in the last hour. So there's a lot to talk about tonight. News, weather, traffic with Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this here is The Download, a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, do the carryout. Stay with us. All right, lots to do tonight on the show. We're covering weather. We're covering the Blackhawks, the MVP, and the Hart Trophy. We're covering Derrick Rose and the trade to the New York Knicks, and we're covering Illinois politics. Governor Quinn coming up after 7:30. But first, let's do the carryout. This, of course, our nightly segment where I read the newspaper, so you at home, you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. City Council was busy with several ordinances passing, many of them, though, different than what was originally proposed. How can I best explain the ordinances for ride sharing and for Airbnb? You know when you drink out of your parents' liquor cabinet and you're not supposed to, and then you trick them by adding water to those bottles? That's essentially what happened with both of these ordinances. They were diluted. Airbnb must have some baller lobbyists because the new rules are super loosey-goosey, and everybody's happy. And Lyft Uber seems to be happy with limited regulations that don't include fingerprinting or pretty much anything else. The taxi industry is angry at the compromise, saying regulations don't go far enough. They're so angry, they're thinking of protesting by not talking on the phone while you're in the cab. That'll show us. It was good political theater, though. The mayor's watered-down rideshare ordinance was given to aldermen right before the vote because, you know, aldermen can't read. Alderman Wagespeck tried to delay the vote to read it, which prompted Emanuel to try and adjourn the meeting quickly and just do another meeting later in June. But it all worked out, and everybody's disappointed. Oh, great government. One interesting new law will force independent tow truck companies to record video of all their tows. This in response to Lincoln towing horror stories that pretty much every Chicagoan has. I just hope that you get to watch that video in the weird trailer slash lobby of the tow lot, because I've just been searching for new ways to get back there. Such a nice place. I wish I could stay longer and get yelled at. First, a filibuster, now a sit-in. Democrats in the House sat down in the House and have not moved and won't until gun control measures are brought to a vote. There's nothing better than a political protest tactic being used in government. What's next? Senators chaining themselves to a tree? Hey, I'm all for the kind of statement and, of course, gun control measures. But, I mean, don't you guys already get paid to sit and do nothing? In weather, severe. We're going to be all over it tonight, as well as all the meteorologists in town who are taking off their sport coats, putting on their glasses, and rolling up their sleeves. This is their Oscar night. The big storm comes through later. So far, no big damage. In sports, I don't even know where to start. I guess we got to start with D. Rose. The star point guard was shipped to New York for a few players of little consequence. This was much more of a changing of the guard or an end of an era. I don't know how to feel about Derek being shipped. I mean, I love him. I mean, I hate him. I mean, I hate to see him go. But you know what? Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. All I know is that D. Rose will now play with a chip on his shoulder, that same chip on his shoulder that we wanted in Chicago when he's having a great year in New York. And we'll be sitting here fighting for bragging rights with the Milwaukee Bucks. But to be fair, even if D. Rose was still on the team, we'd be fighting for bragging rights with the Milwaukee Bucks. So what's it mean? Rebuild? I don't know. Jimmy Butler stays, I guess. I don't mind a rebuild, but from 1998 till, I don't know, Derrick Rose, we had a rebuild, and it was the worst thing in Chicago sports. So if you're going to do that again, please don't. But as one MVP gets shipped out of town, all eyes are on the NHL Awards tonight, where it's widely believed that Patrick Kane will receive the Hart Trophy and be this past season's most valuable player. He had a pretty unbelievable season, and even though the team didn't make it out of the first round, Kaner broke tons of individual records. We're going to see how it plays out later this hour. What the heck happened at Wrigley today? The Cardinals came around and slapped the complacent Cubbies in the face. The Cubs were swept. I mean, the Cubs are still up 10 games in the NL Central, so do your little dance, Cardinal fans. Dance, have fun. But then quickly sit down like you're a congressman. Do nothing. The White Sox looking for a sweep in Boston. They win, they get back to 500. Hey, baby steps. And finally tonight, the NHL has a new expansion team. It will be located in Las Vegas, Nevada. No word on a name yet, but if it were me, I'd name it the Las Vegas Pie-Gow Pokers. Or how about the Las Vegas Single-Deck Blackjacks? Or how about the Las Vegas White Tigers that eat Eastern European magicians? No, I'm here all night. That's the carry out for June 22nd, 2016. Hey, did you get enough napkins? Good, because here's like 1,000 more. More to come tonight on The Download. Coming up, former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. He'll be here after the news at 7:30. Talk about his petition drive to get the mayor of Chicago on term limits. We'll also talk about the art of balancing a budget. Former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn here on The Download at 720 WGN. Stay with us. Watching severe storms roll through the area. Rob Martier's all over it. Are you ready for tonight, Rob?
I'm ready.
I was kind of joking with Roe and Anna before, mm-hmm. just about the last, I think it was around this time last year that there was tornadoes touched down and we had to do a bunch of juggling and following the tornado. And we had Rick DeMaio on and we just kept following a tornado.
At least Mother Nature's consistent, you know what I mean? We you know, kind of get a feel for when she's going to break out and get a little upset.
So why don't we just make the ground rules? I mean, if something happens in any form, you know, or you need to break in, just tap on my shoulder.
I can do that.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we're good. We're good now.
We've got it covered. I've got the WGN TV radar right up here in front of me, so
nice.
We're ready to go.
All right. And I'll keep 2.5 men on the TV just to keep everything
sounds
consistent.
Good.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Steve Cochran. Steve Cochran's going to be in studio with us. How great is that? I'm excited to have, I mean, he's WGN royalty. To be in studio with us little guys at the download. We like that. So Steve will be here. We'll be talking hockey, the NHL awards, and hoping good things for Patrick Kane, who is up for the Hart Trophy. And it looks like if I don't know who would be, but if you are betting on who's going to win the Hart Trophy, a lot of people are saying Patrick Kane's the inside bet. So he's a safe bet. We'll see about that.
Well, I hope so. I'm a Patrick Kane fan, and my name's Patrick Quinn, so he's a great guy.
Joining me in studio now is the former governor of Illinois, Democrat Pat Quinn. Quinn served as governor for 6 years after taking over the reins for impeached Governor Rod Blagojevich. Since leaving office, former Governor Quinn has kept a pretty low profile, but just this month has announced a new movement called Take Charge Chicago, which is a petition drive to put term limits in place for the mayor of the city of Chicago. If Quinn gets enough signatures, this and a consumer watchdog position could be on the ballot come November, but that's a lot of signatures. Before Quinn was in the governor's mansion, he was promoting better government and consumer affairs. That was his passion. He tried before to get lawmaker term limits in place, and he's been an advocate and a spokesperson for consumer issues and transparency in government. Former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, welcome to the download.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Justin. And you mentioned consumer issues, and I showed you our envelope from 34 years ago, the Citizen Utility Board. I was able to get that on the ballot here in Chicago, and people voted for it overwhelmingly. And Cub is the largest consumer group in Illinois today and one of the largest in the country. And it just shows the power of referendum when everyday people band together for something they believe in and put it on the ballot. And people vote for it. Yep. It can move a lot of move mountains.
Well, you've lived a couple of lives in public service and politics. We'll talk about that tonight. Let's talk about why this. Why Take Charge Chicago? What is it about term limits, especially when it comes to the mayor of the city of Chicago, that has piqued your interest?
Well, I live in Chicago. I live in the West Side. I was born in Chicago, and I think our city is kind of headed in the wrong direction. And if you look at around the country, of the 10 biggest cities in America, only one city, Chicago, does not have term limits on the mayor. New York has term limits on the mayor, so does Los Angeles, Houston, Philadelphia, on and on. And here in Illinois, there are 20 cities that have term limits on their mayor, including Springfield, Naperville, and Oak Lawn, and Des Plaines. And there is a power in the Illinois Constitution that allows people by petition to put a binding referendum on the ballot to put term limits, reasonable term limits, the same thing as they have really in the U.S. Constitution. The president can serve 2 terms, 8 years, and then you have to step aside. And that goes really back to the beginning of our country. George Washington voluntarily limited his tenure to 2 terms. And people like Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, they all believed in, they call it rotation of office.
Right.
They had revolted against King George. King George III was on the throne in England for 59 years, and they were not interested in having an imperial presidency or, you know, an imperial mayor. So I think it's important that people have a chance to vote on this issue.
Well, I mean, it's interesting timing. Obviously, the mayor of Chicago right now, Mayor Emanuel, has seen better days politically. His numbers have dropped. He's in a lot of hot water. The city of Chicago voters are displeased with his work. But talk about that. I mean, is this about, you say the city's heading in the wrong direction, is this about the leadership of Mayor Emanuel, or is it a bigger calling?
It's not personal. I really believe in grassroots democracy. I believe in voting on issues. I believe in term limits because I think it brings fresh ideas and fresh people into the political system so the same person isn't holding office, not just the incumbent mayor, but the mayors before. They were there for quite a long time. And sometimes maybe you take things for granted and you need a jolt from the public. The people of Illinois and the people of Chicago should set the rules for the mayor, not the mayor setting the rules for the people. And that's really what this is about. I was at City Hall today with the Chicago Teachers Union and many other people, and I get a lot of signatures there with all of our petition passers. And, you know, we're right before the 4th of July here, you know, Independence Day, Declaration of Independence. Well, assembly, you know, people assembling for a petition and gathering signatures, that's as American as it gets. And I think we need to kind of restore that kind of democracy.
Do you
Chicago.
Think that, I mean, I'm interested in this because, I mean, I kind of have a chuckle in my voice because, you know, you mentioned King George, but we've had King Daley and mm-hmm. both his father and son, sell, you know, 50 years of being mayor in the city of Chicago. Do you think you'd be able to have this kind of conversation or to be able to bring up the idea of petitioning Chicago when a Mayor Daley was in office?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, if we did and it was on the ballot and it passed by the people's vote, it would probably be healthy for Chicago because each mayor that comes along would know they only have 8 years to make a difference. They can't just be there eternally. And sometimes, you know, what happened, we have a lot of problems that have cropped up in Chicago, especially in fiscal matters,
yeah.
financial matters. And when folks get their property tax bill next week, it's not going to be a pleasant letter. I live, like I said, in a house in Chicago, and we're going to be paying these garbage fees and higher property taxes and a lot of other levies that are really kind of chickens coming home to roost.
Do you point that back to the idea that one mayor was in office for 25 years, a quarter century essentially, and was, as I've heard so eloquently put by Bruce at the Old Town Ale House, he said on Bourdain's show, it's like the kid Richie had a big party with all his rich friends, and then when the bill came, he split.
Well,
what you mean? Like that there was 25 years of unchecked kind of government?
I don't think you should personalize term limits. It's really kind of what the people want in their elected offices. That's the reason we have this in the Illinois Constitution. You know, the people can set the rules. And I think that's a healthy exercise because too often in this age of big money and plutocrats and PACs and all this stuff, you know, the incumbent can amass huge amounts of money to just stay in office. Last mayoral election in Chicago, it was, you know, a lot of the
staggering
big shots with big money kind of calling the show. And I don't want to see the one percenters running our city. And they decided in New York, a bigger city than ours, or even Los Angeles, it's a bigger, the voters put a referendum on the ballot and put term limits on their mayor. And as a result, they don't have the same person forever. And I think the competition is really sort of the heart of term limits as well. It's kind of campaign finance reform and more competition and more fresh air.
You know, it's interesting because I wonder, you know, with the demise or the so-called demise of the Chicago machine, where it's not as politically clouded in as it once was in the past, is this the right time for referendum? Is this the right time for petitions? Because I don't know if it's just me as a Chicagoan and being in the media and knowing these issues, I just can't see a mayor of Chicago, A, wanting this or letting it happen.
It's interesting, Justin, because in some cities in Illinois, the mayor helped put on the ballot term limits on himself, just like George Washington did. So there is that opportunity. I'm not sure about this mayor, whether he'll embrace that. We'll see. But, you know, what we need to have more of in our city of Chicago, and for that matter elsewhere in Illinois, is voters being able to vote on issues, not just candidates. This is true in the Midwest. If you go to places like Michigan or Ohio or Missouri, right, or Wisconsin, voters at the municipal level can put referendums on the ballot for issues they believe in and they care about, for ethics and government and so on. We don't have that, and we got to build that. We got to build up our citizen muscles. And, you know, anybody listening wants to look at our petition and hopefully help us, it's takechargechicago.org. And we have to get 100,000 names. That's a lot of signatures, a lot of autographs, not of celebrities, but of everyday people, you know.
Illinois governor's kind of a celebrity. I mean, you're walking around to people, whether they're at Millennium Park enjoying a movie or maybe walking down the street and you're like, hi, I used to be governor. Will you sign this?
Well, people usually spot
you
me
and
out.
The Greenpeace guy are going neck to neck on Michigan Avenue?
I was in the Puerto Rican parade there on Saturday, and then on Sunday we went to Barbecue Days on Milwaukee Avenue. We were over at Buckingham Fountain today, you know, across from City Hall. You know, I enjoy that. That's how I got started. You know, the first petition drive we did, WGN really helped because we gathered 635,158 signatures to stop legislators in Illinois from a 100-year-old practice they had and they liked to take their whole year's pay, their whole salary, on the first day of office. And Wally Phillips, who was the morning man here for years, heard about that, and he called me up. He said, what's this petition drive all about? I told him. I was on a show probably 10 or 12 times. We gathered all those signatures, filed them in Springfield. We got a law passed against advance pay for politicians, And when it was all over, they introduced me to the House of Representatives. One guy did it sort of as a joke. But they all stood up and booed me for 3 minutes.
And you're like, one day I'll be back. I'll be your governor.
I got a standing boovation, you know. But that shows the power of citizen petition and referendum, that just like CUB, Citizen Utility Board, didn't happen by magic. It grows from the grassroots and doesn't come from the top down. It comes from everyday people working.
Former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn in studio tonight. Let's take a quick break. We'll return. We'll talk more about petitions, about your life before the governor's mansion and your life in the governor's mansion. Former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. We're talking about Take Charge Chicago, his petition movement to put term limits on the ballot for mayor of City of Chicago. You know, term limits have been something that it's a political issue. I mean, you saw the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, sort of step in the way of term limits when it comes to lawmakers. He's done that a couple times. And you've also seen Governor Rauner on the other side of the aisle say he wants term limits. So it is a political issue as well.
No doubt. You know, actually, in 1994, I was part of spearheaded an effort to collect signatures for term limits on legislators in Springfield. And we got nearly 500,000 names. We filed them, and the case went to the Illinois Supreme Court. By a 4-3 vote of the court, they said the only way to get term limits statewide is for the legislature to put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
That was a great disappointment. And a lot of the problems today, I think, would be gone if we had won that case, if we had won 4-3, because the voters, I think, would have passed the referendum statewide. The difference is at the municipal level, city level, it's very clear that you can pass a binding referendum on term limits for mayors, and 20 cities in Illinois have already done that, as well as these other communities around the country like New York and Los Angeles and other big cities. So we want to do it, and part of it is, and I found this today when I was gathering signatures, people want more voice in their government. The government doesn't belong to the insiders and the politicians who've been there a long time. It really belongs to the people who pay the taxes and raise children and work jobs. You know, that's what democracy is all about.
Well, you had an inside look at that, obviously, being in the governor's mansion for 6 years. Talk about that. Talk about coming from a point of view where you were really a populist. You were a politician for the people. CUB, you talked about Citizens Utility Board. You talked about passion issues. Mm-hmm. What was it like making a transition to be the guy who's at the helm of Illinois government?
Well, you got to remember that day. It was the 29th of January of 2009. The governor had been impeached and removed from office. That was my predecessor. And then we were in a terrible economic, really recession in our country. You know, the jobs were being lost by the day. And then there was a huge budget crisis in Illinois. So all that in the same day.
You're like, thanks for the job.
Yeah, right. Well, I volunteered. I didn't complain. But, you know, there were folks who've been in government a long time of both parties who they really aren't excited to be giving voters more opportunity to vote on issues. And I had to fight hard, for example. I wanted to get recall, that power in our Constitution. So anytime it happened again, whether it was George Ryan or Rob Blagojevich, voters could recall that person from governor before their term is up. And so it was a big fight to get the recall amendment on the 2010 ballot. But we did. It wasn't easy. I got it done. And then the voters voted for it. And it's part of the Constitution.
But beyond those, I mean, those issues are great. But I mean, the idea of you being a progressive politician who really did speak for the people and worked with the people to the highest branch in Illinois government. Talk about that. Talk about what it was like for you to go from a guy shaking hands to the guy who had to play ball.
Yeah, I was lieutenant governor, you know, for 6 years, and I had been treasurer before that at the state of Illinois, so I wasn't new to state government.
Right, right.
But you're right, you know, whenever you become the quarterback, so to speak, there are people who want to shoot at you, politically attack you, I guess, not anything else. That was true of both parties, even. You just have to have a tough hide. You can't be complaining or having alibis. You got to just follow your conscience. The first day I got sworn in, I said, you know, I'd rather tell the truth to the people of Illinois about the issues as I saw them than to do what my predecessors, George Ryan and Rob Blagojevich, did. I think they did a bad job. And, I wanted to always be honest and never have my conscience kicking me in the shins if I didn't think I was following my conscience.
One of the issues, obviously, with state government has been control. We see it right now in this wrestling match between the governor and the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House and you, when you were governor, you guys were in the same party, but that still was an issue that played out about who was making the decisions and also how you were getting things done. And a lot of times, ultimately, things didn't get done.
Well, we got some things done. I wish we had more things done, but we had a budget passed every year when I was governor.
Now, a lot of Republicans who have been on this program will say those were all sham budgets. You were out of balance. You were doing unbalanced trickeries.
That isn't true at all. Matter of fact, our revenue equals our expenditure. That's what
Which
they
is
don't.
A budget, right?
Yeah, that's called arithmetic. some of them who never voted for our budget, are carping today. But the fact was, when I was there, we got a budget passed. We put more money into important things like health care. We added 1 million people to health care in Illinois, a very important issue. And we also did important things, like I signed the bill for marriage equality in our state. That was a big reform. I think it's important to understand that you don't always agree with people in either in your own party or the other party, but you have to be civil and you don't call people names. I think that's counterproductive. And it isn't just me saying it, but
right.
Jim Edgar, who I know, and he served as governor as a Republican when I was state treasurer, he said the same thing the other day. I heard him. He said, you know, civility and respect. You know, the person on the other side is not your enemy. They may be a different point of view, but, you know, to try and demonize others as too much modern politics is, that's not healthy.
Well, let's talk about modern politics after the break, because, you know, for you, obviously, you know, you're watching what has happened. I mean, so much has happened that you were involved in. I mean, we talk about raising the income tax, rolling that back, Governor Rauner, the continued budget stalemate in Springfield. I mean, you have to have opinions on that. We'll talk with former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, who's in studio with us tonight. We'll continue the conversation after the news. Stay with us. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Rob Martyr, big news. Patrick Kane gets the Hart Trophy. He's on stage now at in Vegas at this big award show.
Absolutely.
How about it, huh?
That is big and well-deserved. Of course, he had a fantastic season.
Yeah, well, we're going to hope to get him on the program coming up here after this. Obviously, he's going to be very sought after, but we will talk with him. Thank you, Rob. Lots to do tonight. And please break in when you have some weather stuff. Obviously, severe weather moving through the area, tornado warnings. You can see right here on Michigan Avenue the weather. The umbrellas are out. It really does feel like the lights have been shut off here on Michigan Avenue. So we'll obviously storms, heavy storms in Aurora, Joliet, Elgin, those areas. So please be safe. We're talking with former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. He's in studio right now. In these kind of situations, I'm just interested, like, you know, you had on your watch, I mean, there were tornadoes, tornado in Washington, Illinois. I mean, there are other severe weather. As the governor, what is happening right now in the governor's
Well, there's an emergency management agency. They keep you up to date as the storm approaches. When it happened in Washington on a Sunday afternoon, it was very dangerous storm indeed. And there was other tornadoes across the state. There's four or five other communities. So, you know, I was in Washington right away, and Harrisburg had a terrible tornado when I was governor. There was an ice storm that would paralyze southern Illinois one time for 8 days. They didn't have electricity. So you really have to be there for the people wherever the problem is. We had a terrible flood Yeah, and I think it was 2013 for Northeastern Illinois and all across the state. And like Edens and the expressways are completely underwater. So you really have to activate the state police and all the emergency personnel and then work with local people. And I think all the listeners today, you know, should pay attention to WGN and all the warnings. You know, it's very dangerous. We're, you know, in the time of tornadoes, and that's something you got to be careful about.
Okay, let's talk. We're talking about your petition drive, Take Charge Chicago, to put term limits on the mayor of Chicago. We're talking about the other issue, too, about putting a consumer watchdog. Why do we need a consumer watchdog? And I'm interested in this because this has been a passion of yours, and it made me today, I scratched my head going, do I not know something that I should know? I mean, are people out to rip off consumers?
Well, I think there should be an elected consumer advocate in the city of Chicago, elected by the voters. Right now, there's a Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Services where it's an appointee of the mayor, may make about $157,000. Under our proposal, the consumer advocate would make less money but would be elected by the people. They would make a much smaller salary. And the purpose, I think, is to not only fight hard for taxpayers and consumers, but also to make sure that the Freedom of Information Act is complied with by the city. That has not happened in the past. And we don't even have a Department of Environment now in Chicago. We used to, but not anymore. And I think there needs to be a strong, independent voice for consumers. You know, Cub does a good job for utility consumers, but there's other issues on insurance, or it might be how cable TV treats people, or the internet service provider. There ought to be somebody who's fighting for us. And
you see that as a government function, a government role to protect people.
Yes, I think there should be that person, because oftentimes these big corporations and big bureaucracies, how can one person take them on? If you have the power of somebody elected by the people of Chicago, third biggest city in the country, that's a lot more power, a lot more clout. And a lot of times people are just not treated fairly. And it's important in the marketplace to have someone step in and fight for them. And in New York, they have what's called a public advocate, which is quite similar to what we're doing, trying to do here in Chicago. And that's been around for about 25 years. And it's a very, very popular office. It's kind of the people's person. And, you know, anybody listening who would like more information about our two referendums, term limits on the mayor and also elected school consumer advocate, you know, our website is takechargechicago.org. And if you don't have access to the internet, our phone is 773-999-2016. So we're the 99%, and we're trying to take on the plutocrats.
Okay, well, before we go on, because I want to ask about what's happening now, let's get an update on the weather from Rob Barnes here. Rob.
Yeah, National Weather Service issuing now a severe thunderstorm warning for DuPage and Cook County. This will remain in effect until about 9:15 tonight. The severe thunderstorm located along the line extending from Schaumburg to Hanover Park to the DuPage Airport. It's moving southeast at about 30 miles per hour, 60 mile per hour wind gusts associated with the storm system, and along with penny size hail. Again, DuPage and central Cook County until about 9:15 p.m. This is a severe thunderstorm warning. Justin.
All right. Thank you, Rob. We'll keep you updated on all of the severe weather warnings that are coming out right now from the National Weather Service. In studio, Illinois, former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Are you surprised at the gridlock in Springfield? When you were leaving, obviously you had to know that this was coming down the pipe.
Well, you know, I ran the campaign for re-election. I told people the truth as I saw it, that we needed enough revenue to pay for schools and health care and public safety, for emergency services like we're seeing here tonight, and for taking care of people who have human service concerns, mental health, whatever. You got to pay for that. And it wasn't easy. I ran an election in 2010, and I said we needed to have an income tax sufficient revenue to pay the bill. And the guy ran against me in last election said, oh, no, we didn't need that. And he said we should let it go by. And now we have a $10 billion deficit. So it's really in Illinois, unemployment is up. When you don't have a balanced budget, as we don't now, with all these bills to be paid, it really hurts the economic
growth. When you were governor, did you ever consider that option, the idea of not having a balanced budget, the idea of sort of having a stalemate and just being able to do sort of stopgap spending plans? I mean, as an official, did that ever cross your mind to do?
No. I, you know, I agree with Jim Edgar, who is a different party than I am. The first job of a governor is to get a budget passed, because so many people depend on it who you'll never meet in your whole life, but they do important things for the public. I was with school teachers today, not only here in Chicago, but all across Illinois. You've got to make sure you have a budget for education, and not just for K-12, but how about our higher education? We have a scholarship program in our state that's been around for half a century that provides scholarships to students in financial need. 130,000 students. Well, this year their scholarship got cut to bits. And promises were made to them, and then the revenue wasn't there to pay for their scholarship. It was taken away from them. And those kind of things are just plain wrong. And, you know, I think what has to happen, what I really like to see happen, is we would have in Illinois at the state level a petition and referendum process, as they do in other states in the Midwest and other places around the country, where we the people can put a budget on the ballot and we pass it, no matter what the insiders or the governor or the politicians want.
Okay, let me ask you the question, because I know your relationship with Governor Rauner, but talk about your relationship with Speaker of the House Mike Madigan. What do we need to know about? Because a lot of people listening here at WGN Radio and a lot of people in the media will say it's as much to blame on the Democrat side as it is the Republican side. What was your relationship like with the Speaker?
Well, he's a tough negotiator. I'll give you an example. There was something, a tax relief measure for working families raising children. It's called the Earned Income Tax Credit.
Right.
President Reagan supported it, President Clinton, President Obama, at the federal level. And we have one at the state level. It gives tax relief to men and women raising children. It's very important, fairness relief. So I wanted to make that more generous in Illinois to working families. And I said that to Mike Madigan. He said, Pat, take that idea of yours and put it in the drawer and lock the drawer and throw away the key. That's what he told me
right.
in 2011 at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, we got the Earned Income Tax Credit passed, made it more generous. He changed his mind. It took a while. And so sometimes you just have to hang in there. I don't agree with him on quite a few things. I'm for term limits. He's not. I think that, you know, there are certain things in philosophy we're always going to be different on.
Take Charge Chicago is the petition that is being circulated right now for term limits for the mayor of the city of Chicago, also a consumer advocate position that will be elected. It's all in work because of Illinois former Governor Pat Quinn. If you get the 100,000 signatures by August, it could be on the November ballot, but yeah. that's a long shot.
It's a tall order. As soon as we get 100,000 signatures, we'll get it on the ballot, and the people of Chicago will have a chance to vote for a binding referendum, not advisory. If the people vote for it,
well, that's new.
It becomes the law.
Wow, what a concept.
You know, if we put term limits on the mayor, he can't change it. The city council can't change it. The only way you can change it is another referendum. So this is where the voice of the people really speaks.
Well, Governor Quinn, we'd love to have you back. It's great to have you in studio. I'd love to talk more about your political history, your career. I'd love to have you. And thanks for being here. We appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot, Justin.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Steve Cochran, who's here, and hopefully get a chance to talk with Hart Trophy winner Patrick Kane. Stay with us. To hear that Soldier Field evacuated, never a good thing. It's a download here on WGN Radio with you till 11 o'clock. We will continue.
May need you to hold me.
Say that again.
I said I may need you to hold me. There's a lot of lightning out there.
That's our newest. It's a new guy we're trying out here.
I'm your intern.
Sir, our intern / sidekick.
We don't do interns at the company, but I wanted to work with you, so I volunteered.
Steve Cochran of the Steve Cochran Show, which you can hear every weekday here on WGN Radio.
6 to 10 in the morning. Good God, I can't believe you people are up at this hour.
How are you, man? Good to see you.
It's nice to see the city after dark.
I know. It's nice to see you. I mean, we were like two ships passing in
opposite
the night. We never get a chance.
Opposite ends. You know, Patty Vasquez and I used to hang out all the time.
Right.
I haven't seen her in, I don't even know where she is. She had a witness protection program. Talk about opposite ends of the
clock. Sometimes I see Patty in here before the show, like at 5 or 6 o'clock, because she's working nonstop. And I'm always like, when do you sleep?
Oh, who are you kidding? When do you sleep? You guys are working on the show. You and Pete.
Yeah.
Are you some kind of slave driver? Has Pete told you to leave?
No, it's Pete. Pete does it to me.
Because you guys are in here like 10 o'clock in the morning.
No. Come on. That's a joke.
No, I'm not kidding. You guys work all day. I'm very impressed, and the show sounds great.
Thank you. Well, it's great to have you here. Obviously, we're watching the weather as it hits Chicago, downtown Chicago, and all the areas. It's already rumbling through Aurora, Joliet, Elgin. The other big story tonight, though, the Chicago Blackhawks star Patrick Kane giving the Hart Trophy.
MVP
season. How amazing is that?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, and it's a heck of an accomplishment. American players don't get this. Canadians don't get Stanley Cups anymore, and American players don't become MVPs. So this is great. And he was on automatic so much of the year. He was in the zone so much of the year. And when he wasn't, I scratched out some stats earlier today. He led the league in points. He averaged 1.29 points per game. Now, you don't need to be a hockey fan to understand that that means he scored in every game. Because he played in all 82 games, wasn't injured all year, which is also amazing.
That's amazing.
In goals, second in power play goals, third in assists. He scored. This is amazing too. He scored or assisted on 40% of the Blackhawks' goals for the entire year.
Yeah, you know, when you think about that kind of dominance, and truly, I mean, he's the first MVP the Chicago Blackhawks have had since what, Stan Mikita?
Yeah, Mikita and Bobby Hall were the last two.
I mean, the idea that to get this kind of trophy is not just to show dominance in this current league, but to be among the greats that ever laced up skates for the Blackhawks.
It's pretty cool. And his acceptance speech was nice. We'll play that back in the morning as well. We'll play the interview you and I are going to do with him here in a few minutes.
So he's right now, he's got his tuxedo on, and they're giving him, you know, all the big national.
Well, it's funny. The Hawks, we have such a great relationship with the Hawks, and the Hawks called today. They go, oh, geez, we're sorry, but Can you hang with us for like 20 minutes after he wins or 40 minutes after he wins? He says, it's just funny if there's national media standing there who are in Vegas, who are working it, and we go, no, Justin and Steve are waiting.
No, that's...
So I said it's okay.
You said it's okay, good, because I was demanding that it was not.
We want priority.
We want him on the phone right now in front of them. We want them to watch.
Now, here's the thing that was kind of miserable about the awards. I'm not a Sid Crosby fan.
Yeah, right.
You know, and the Penguins won the cup. Right. They brought the cup.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay,
that
whatever. And Michael Keaton. This tells you something about Kaner in his speech. Michael Keaton's a Pittsburgh boy. You ever met Keaton?
No.
He's a good guy.
Okay.
He's a good guy. Did you know he got his start on Mr. Rogers?
I did not know
that. Yeah, Mr. Rogers was in Pittsburgh. That's where they did that show.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Keaton got his start. I don't know if he was Mr. McFeely or whoever those guys were. but Michael Keaton is a Pittsburgh guy, so he was fawning all over the Penguins. Patrick Kane comes up and goes... And he presented the MVP. He comes up, he goes, it's so great to get the MVP trophy from my favorite Batman ever. And was just completely cool about it. And Keaton loved it. And he thanked the Chicago fans.
He did.
Which he does a very good job with.
Patrick Kane, the winner of the Hart Trophy. Steve Cochran in studio with us tonight because we're about to interview Patrick Kane. He's going to be coming up after the news. Why don't we take a break so we can stay on time here.
Watch out for the lightning!
And also get an update from Rob Martyr
on the
National Weather Service warnings that are hitting the area right now. It's a download. Steve Cochran and Justin Kaufman. I love it. Stay with us.
New team.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. Thanks, Rob. We will continue to give you updates on tonight's weather. If there's any updates, Rob will cut in. In studio with me, our new sidekick / intern, Steve Cochran. You can hear Steve
Van Driver.
We're trying out a new show called The Steve Cochran Show, 6 to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday.
Right.
But we're here because the Blackhawks star Patrick Kane gets the Hart Trophy tonight. He's the MVP of the NHL. Amazing for him. And, you know, for in terms of dominance, I mean, he dominated this year. I mean, the streak he had where he went.
Tremendous.
Whatever, it was tremendous. You've never seen anything like it in hockey.
Certainly, arguably, the best year for an American-born player. And really sell it all around. You want to thank our friends at Chevy?
I do. It's what we're doing here, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Coming up, we're going to talk with Patrick Kane, who's just about on the line. He's making
the final arrangements now.
He's got to talk to the people at E.
Right. You know? well, you get pulled in a million different directions. It was nice to see Kaner there with friends and family, and thanked his dad at the end, who he's very close to. So all very good.
All right, well, let's bring him in. Patrick Kane, the winner of the Hart Trophy. Patrick Kane, congratulations.
Woo! Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Kaner, it's Steve Cochran. You know, I don't stay up this late for just anybody.
I know. I was going to say, isn't it past your bedtime here?
Way past my bedtime. Very happy for you. We talked a little about your second speech. I thought that was terrific. But we didn't mention much that you also won the Ted Lindsay Award, which is like the player's MVP. That's got to mean a lot to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in some ways that means even more to me. You know, you're playing against these players every night or playing with them, and they're the ones that kind of see up close and personal what a player can do on the ice. So, you know, once you kind of receive that award, it's I guess labeled as the most outstanding player voted on by his peers. It's
pretty cool.
Pretty special. So that was an awesome moment for sure.
I saw a stat which was stunning to me, and it just sums up your entire season. I don't even know if you know this. You were in on 40% of the Hawks' goals this year in scoring or assisting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty crazy to look at. I guess when you're playing, it doesn't really seem like it's that much. We have so many guys that contribute, but it was one of those seasons where. I don't want to say everything was going right, but, everything just kind of clicked. Our power play was second in the NHL. I had some consistent line mates for the first time in my NHL career that I really gelled with. And, we had some consistency and chemistry. So, everything was just kind of put together in a good way.
And your favorite Russian, Artemi Panarin. He wins the Calder Trophy Rookie of the Year. You won that back in 07. You got to be thrilled for him too, right?
Yeah, I'm so happy for him. Very well deserved. He was by far, I think, the best first-year player, no doubt in my mind, and happy he won the award. I'm proud of him for speaking in English too during his speech, and he did a great job.
Patrick Kane, hey, this is Justin Kaufman. Okay, so the MVP award, obviously a huge, huge win for you. But you know, hockey is the ultimate team game. Talk about what it means to win the MVP for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Sometimes you think about it. I don't even know if I was the MVP of my team. I mean, we had so many guys with great seasons. So, like you said, you can't do it without your teammates. And, I think we were a little disappointed this year that we didn't take it a little bit farther than the first round. It's kind of frustrating to watch on TV when someone else is lifting up the Stanley Cup and hoisting something that you think is yours. So we'll have a little extra motivation, a little extra rest coming into next season.
And yeah, especially when the Penguins brought the trophy to Vegas. Oh, come on.
Yeah. I know, right? Who does that? I think we've done it a couple times, too.
Maybe once or twice. but it's different when the Hawks
are. Yeah, it's different. To talk about what's special about this group, the Chicago Blackhawks from this season. I mean, obviously you didn't get where you wanted to get, but talk about this group and what was special about this team winning the MVP with this team.
We'll see what the roster looks like coming into training camp and at the start of the season, but I still think we're going to have a very good roster again. We got great goaltending. We got great defense. We got a lot of young forwards that will probably get a chance to play that will have to come up and chip in. But I think, it's going to be a little bit of a test for our core as well. I mean, we didn't get it done last year, and we've gotten it done in the past with different guys that have come in and been a part of the team. But I think we want to prove ourselves again. We'll have that motivation after a long summer and try to get back to the promised land.
You know, the convention's coming up, and the one thing, the only good thing out of you guys not getting it done for us as fans, is the extra rest. And I understand maybe you got a little family vacation going. You going anywhere fun?
I went to Mexico for a couple weeks after the season, which was awesome. Just like totally relaxed, kind of turned off the mind and just enjoyed every day. So that was something that helped me really regroup. And I think I'm going to do something with my family. I'm not sure where we're planning on going yet, but it's something we've been trying to do for the past couple of years. It just hasn't happened because of the long season. So we're going to plan something. Not sure where it is yet, but I'm sure it'll be a great time. It's going to be fun spending a lot of time with them.
I noticed a short haircut too. Are you trying to look more like me?
I had to go with a different look here. You know, it's hot out here in Vegas. It's like 115 degrees, so can't have that long hair waving down and making it even more humid. But
You take that. You take that down to about a one, and you got a Cochran going. Of course, mine's more natural.
Well, I'll grow it back. I'll grow it back for the fans, and I know I didn't do them all at this past year, but it seems like it's good luck, so I might have to bring that back next year too.
Well, Patrick, let's talk about Chicago real quick. The, you know, we were talking right before you came on that, you know, the last MVP winner was Stan Mikita. To win an MVP as a Chicago Blackhawk, what does that mean for you to be in now forever involved with names like Stan Mikita, Bobby Hull? Talk about what that means to not only be a Blackhawk but be a Chicago athlete.
Yeah, I mean, special. You think of the names, like you said, Stan Mikita, Bobby Hull, Jeremy Roenick, Chris Chelios, Denny Savard, guys that have been unbelievable players for Chicago Blackhawks for a long time. And they're great ambassadors. I mean, you learn a lot from talking to these guys and just seeing them, how they carry themselves. It's almost like you're a fan or a little kid going up to talk to them and hear their stories. So I've had a blast getting to know those guys and love my conversations with them.
Coming up on 10 years in the league and still as fired up as ever. And like I said, convention coming up in a little bit, and all your Blackhawks games will be here on 720 WGN. As you go through the rest of the summer, when do you start skating hard and getting ready?
You know what? I'll probably take a little bit more time off the ice than usual, but usually around August you start really getting back on the ice and getting back in skating shape. We're already working out, trying to get back in shape as far as getting in the gym and getting strong again. So that's a good time for that. But I'd probably take a little bit more time off before we start skating.
I don't know what you did for your dad for Father's Day, but I thought it was really sweet and special that you mentioned him tonight. I know how much your family means to you, and I know how much work your parents do to make sure they get here and see as many games as they do, because Buffalo ain't right next door. So that was very cool. I just, you know, as a dad, I thought it was really cool for you to reach out to your dad tonight and say what you said.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at him after the first award. He's got tears in his eyes. And
that's what it's all about. You're going to know that yourself someday, buddy.
Yeah, I know, right? After the second one, it was kind of the same thing. He just loves the game. He loves coming to watch me play. He loved the game when he was younger, watching the Sabres. And I think it's just fun for him to have a kid in the NHL and be a part of it and come to a lot of games, like you said. So he really enjoys it, and very deserving of the shout-out. He's a big reason my career is where it is right now.
Enjoy a little more time off. We'll see you at convention, and congratulations. You got a whole bunch of trophies to load up in the back of the pickup truck. and thanks to our friends at Chevy as well. But thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Okay, Steve and Justin, thanks.
See you, buddy.
There you
go. Patrick Kane.
Hart Trophy winner, MVP Kaner, Patrick Kane. That's a segment sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and there is already a seriousness about him that you saw tonight. Mm-hmm. If you're watching the telecast. The telecast. How old am I? If you're watching the awards.
Steve, this is a different kind of GN at night. We don't use words like telecast.
You know, on the 9-inch black and white, I watched it in Technicolor. I don't know if you know that. But if you're watching the show tonight, he had a certain air about him that I think comes with 10 years in the league. You know, he made sure to congratulate the other guys that were nominated. Even Sid Crosby.
It's pretty amazing to look at all the celebrities who are at the NHL awards and the ones that skate. You know, as well, I mean, the Crosbys, everyone, and recognize that Patrick Kane is the biggest hockey star in the league.
There's no question about it.
It's
so
amazing.
You got Kane and Taves and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford and that core that's coming back. The NHL salary cap went up a little bit.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's take a break, and then I have some questions about hockey.
Okay.
Not just the Blackhawks, but hockey in general. Okay. And since I got you here, I'll keep you till 9 o'clock so you can go home and sleep.
Sure, we'll do some cross-checking.
You can just sleep and
check into the boards.
We can check. We can do some cross-checking. And then you can just sleep in the green room.
Meanwhile, the monsoon continues.
Yeah, Justin, before you guys take a break, I want to update the weather situation. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning for DuPage and Cook counties, including obviously Chicago. 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and penny-sized hail associated with the system. The severe thunderstorm warning for the areas remains in effect until 9:15, looking at the radar. Downtown Chicago getting it right now, all the way into Joliet. Kankakee, this system should brush by you as well. Guys?
Oh, wow. All right, we'll continue to update you. We'll take a quick break here. We come back more with Steve Cochran here on The Download. Stay with us.
Patrick Kane, oh yeah, good old Patrick Kane. He works so hard and he plays so well. He's the best player in the NHL. He's wonderful.
Zimmerman finds a good, you can
really
always
sweet.
Find a really
oh,
good
really
song
sweet.
When you
it's
win
touching.
The MVP. It's very
touching.
Touching.
I was looking at the radar because you know this. I was the weatherman in Grumpy Old Men, the first one. So I know weather.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was.
You learn something new every day here on the
Download. I was
the
bit part king of the early 90s.
Was it a serious like meteorologist where you have the
no
where you have the sleeves rolled up and it's a serious moment?
I was a weatherman mm-hmm. in the small Minnesota town, and in the midst of being the weatherman, the main scene, one scene was cut in a bar, but the main scene is Walter Matthau watching me on TV do the weather and then saying "Shut up, fat ass." It was very sweet.
But you got day rate on that, so that's good.
Oh, made a ton
you
of
made
dough.
Made a ton of money.
Ton of dough.
At least three figures on that one. Yeah.
I think your beeper's going off again, my friend.
Yeah, that is telling us that it looks like there is a thunderstorm warning, a second one coming through 8:50, which is now coming through. The National Weather Service, of course, issuing severe thunderstorm warnings for the area.
For Will County.
But there are,
look,
yeah,
look,
we're under warning
everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
That'd
it's
be
everywhere.
Nice if it just popped up and said severe thunderstorm everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, and I feel badly for these people outside who are running around trying to stay dry, which is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Here on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Oh, you had a hockey question.
No, well, I saw today in the midst of this tremendous achievement for Patrick Kane, I saw more rumors coming out about Marcus Kruger. There was a rumor about Andrew Shaw. Mm-hmm. The idea that the Blackhawks still have to get under cap, and some of the faces that we've seen in the last couple of years, they could be dealt. Are we going to have the same kind of thing we had last year where a lot of the players are going to have to be dumped?
No, because the salary cap went up a skosh.
Okay.
It's still a tough salary cap. I think it's $74 million, something like that, which is a lot of money in the real world. But
doesn't
in sports,
mean anything
it's
to me.
Nothing. In sports, it's an extra on an NBA team.
Right. Mid-level contract.
But $74 million. And moving Bickle's money, and Bix was a friend of the show, so I wish him nothing but luck in Carolina.
Right.
Moving Brian Bickle's money, and it helped. The main thing they want to do is keep Shaw. I certainly hope they keep Kruger because he's a big part of the power play, and he's a good player. Kruger, I think he's not on the bubble, but he's more likely. But I think Shaw stays. The only thing that screws up the Shaw thing, and we saw this with Brandon Saad, is an agent.
Yeah. An agent comes in and says he needs more money?
Yeah, I mean, everything I heard from people that should know was that Saad was ready to stay here, and the agent came in and said, nah, I don't think so. This is what we want. And they said, good luck in Columbus.
Yeah, right.
And he played well after a slow start, but he's in Columbus.
Yeah.
That ain't the madhouse on Madison, kids.
Well, I mean, other player, I mean, does there any impact on the fact that, I mean, it's a great thing that Panarin was Rookie of the Year, but
yeah,
does that
tremendous.
Also have impact on the salary cap, and now you have another star
well,
in the
you
making?
Guys, yeah. I think you guys may have talked about this, but there's a weird little bonus clause mm-hmm. that kicks in.
Roe was talking about, yeah.
It was a Roe?
Yeah.
The bonus money counts, which is weird. The bonus money to me shouldn't count.
Yeah,
so
right.
The bonus money kind of slides in. You can't defer it. You know, it's like basically the idea of the salary cap, right, is to take those that are the most successful and dampen it so you can make the league as even as possible and everybody gets a fair shot.
Right.
And the NFL has turned into an entire league of 8-8 teams.
Right.
So they're trying to do that to some extent
right,
in hockey.
Right.
But what happened this year? Pittsburgh versus San Jose. I mean, you didn't have the Rangers, the Bruins, the Blackhawks in the cup. The ratings suffered, all of that. If any sport needs a dynasty, it's the NHL.
Well, the Blackhawks. It's very interesting to watch from. And I'm a fan. I'm a Chicago fan. I love sport. I love all Chicago sports, and I love the Blackhawks. But I'm not as in. I'm not as sort of involved with the Blackhawks, especially in the off season. But. Seeing how it's happened, the pattern in the last couple of years is they have taken this year off because hockey is grueling when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, the Penguins just ended. The Blackhawks have been off for 2 months. That has to help, and Kane even mentioned it in the interview. That has to help with them being able to skate and be competitive for a cup next year.
Right, and with the Olympics a couple of years ago, and you play 100 games a year. You know, there's a reason those guys skate 30 seconds at a time because otherwise you'll die. It's an amazingly grueling sport. And they're amazing athletes that do it, and we're just lucky to have the talent we have in town. And, like, anything can happen. We're thrilled about the partnership. We have great friends with the Blackhawks, and we love doing the games here. I fully anticipate them to be the beasts of the NHL, but I'm a homer. I love these guys.
Yeah,
I can't give you a fair viewpoint.
If right now, if you went to ESPN and they were doing a preview.
Everybody's picking the Hawks.
Everyone will pick the Hawks.
Everybody's picking the Hawks.
Now, Taze and Kane, their contracts are notoriously long, meaning they've signed them up for 2022.
Six more years.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Keith is around forever.
So
Hossa is around. Hossa is 78 years old, and he still plays. Hossa has been in the league longer than he hasn't been in the league. He came up when he was 18. I think he's 37.
When I was when I went down to watch the Cup right here on Hubbard Street when it was coming into one of the bars after the shift last year, Hossa was my favorite because he had the cool rayon shirt and the embroidered hat.
He just looked
the part.
He's like just a good dude. Yeah. And these guys are all good guys in regards to what they do in the community. Yeah, you want to ask the NBA players to go out and do the community stuff that the Hawks do? They don't do it. The Bears don't do it because the NFL players don't do it. The Cubs and the White Sox don't do it. They're not bad guys. It's just a different vibe in hockey.
Well, what do I see on the news when they're all handing out turkeys and stuff?
Who?
Everybody.
How about the 364 days that aren't Thanksgiving when you go to the elementary
school? The only way they get any of the NFL players or the Bears is for an interview is the Monday when they're speaking or they're handing out food somewhere. And I'm sure that's all PR.
Knocking them, but I'm knocking them a little bit because they, you know, these are good Canadian farm boys. And in Kaner's case, the son of a car dealer. Who, generally speaking, come from people who say you got to work hard. Okay, right. You got great hockey skills, you got to work hard. But I'm amazed at, and this goes to John McDonough and Jay Blunk and everybody at the Blackhawks and the upper levels of management who have created this atmosphere.
I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing to have a hockey team that is in dynasty. Just
it's
because
very cool. We're very lucky.
Here we are talking years. About. Yeah, we're talking about hockey in June.
Yeah,
it's
well,
great.
This is the golden age, kids. Enjoy it. And if you've got
sound
little
like my
kids,
dad.
I'm telling you, if you've got little kids. And that aren't hockey fans, I'd be amazed because little kids get it before grown-ups do. And there's the hockey explosion in this town with kids, it's stunning. Baseball should be so lucky, and maybe the Cubs will have
it. Well, they haven't. You know, it's interesting because, my dad would always tell me whenever the Bears during the 80s with Dicka, he'd always be like, you don't even know how lucky you are.
Yeah.
I was parking cars in the 60s for a team that was not – the 70s, it was not – like it is now. So it's same concept with the Blackhawks. You don't even know how lucky you are.
It's pretty cool. Thanks for letting me do
this. Steve Cochran,
I
don't know where you're going to sleep tonight.
I got a double wide in East St. Louis I'm going to get back to, but I appreciate you doing this. And I want to say something to you. You have done a tremendous job. You continue to do a tremendous job. You and Peter are an amazing company.
Thank you.
But you do innovative radio that you're not going to hear anywhere else. You've taken all the good stuff you did on public radio, you've blended into this commercial product. I don't get too deep here, but I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you, man. That means a lot coming from you, man. So. WGN royalty, Steve Cochran.
Where's my friggin' throne?
Were we supposed to get a throne?
It's my throne!
Where's the throne? What do we do with the throne? Steve Cochran's here. You can hear him, of course, in the Steve Cochran
Tomorrow show, morning on 2 hours sleep.
There you go.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Thanks, Rob, for that. We're going to keep you updated on severe weather tonight. Still tornado watches and a tornado warning for Grundy County.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say
that just popped in. It's just like it's a nonstop warning tonight.
Yeah, this one in Grundy that you just mentioned, Justin, in effect until 9:31. This is a tornado warning. So, again, this means that the potential is great for a tornado.
And there was an earlier tornado that touched down outside of Amboy, about 100 miles west of Chicago in
Lee.
Yes. And so many watches and warnings. Let's talk about this storm, see, as the storm sort of moves through Chicago, it's still warning, still watches, but it is moving its way through. Let's bring in Rick DeMaio. Rick, of course, is a former Chicago meteorologist on CBS2 and Fox Chicago, and he's also been on the download a few times. He's currently a professor of aviation meteorology at Lewis University. Mr. DeMaio, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Justin. You know, as Rob talked just briefly about that new tornado warning, it's important to note that this one is just radar indicated. There's nothing yet confirmed on the ground. Two reasons for that. A, the cell is really small, and B, it's pretty dark out there, so we may not actually see it. The one that you were referring to earlier, the one that was over northern LaSalle County, that was actually confirmed by storm chasers, yet to be seen what type of damage came down with that. But it is also noted that that was pretty much moving across a lot of farmland. So I think when we, you know, kind of go back and look at the, tonight's activity, so far up until this point, I think we can say we've been pretty lucky so far.
Rick, what's a storm like this, when you start seeing this on the radar, what are the circumstances that have to be in place for a storm like this to be so severe?
Well, the first off is that you need to have, you know, some form of moisture, some form of instability. We've had that generally to the south of us, and that's where most of these storms have been developing, as Rob mentioned, generally on a line for about, say, the southern areas of Will County, out through Ottawa, out through Sterling. The second thing you need is some form of wind shear, both from a speed standpoint and direction. When we talk about speed shear, we talk about, you know, winds at the surface up to about 5,000 feet, generally about 20 to 30 miles per hour. At about 10 to 20,000 feet, about 50 to 60 miles per hour, and about jet stream level, about 100 miles an hour. That's typically something that we see maybe in March, April, and early May, but that's the kind of wind field that we have actually across northern Illinois tonight. Now, the last time I think we talked, there were some tornadoes that were moving through the Coal City area. That was, I don't know, like 6-7 months ago.
Right.
If you remember, we had the Fairdale tornado, and then the one that went through Washington, Illinois,
of course,
a couple of years ago. Those storms were actually moving from the southwest to the northeast. These storms are moving from the west-northwest to the east-southeast, and typically storms that move from that direction normally don't last a very long time, and that's been the case tonight. Most of these storms producing tornadoes have been really lasted more than about maybe 15 or 20 minutes.
Now, we still have some warnings and some watches out there, but has this storm lived up to the predictions and the hype that was brought in yesterday? There's a lot being talked about by weathermen on TV and radio. Is this still a storm to be thought about as a severe storm?
Well, let me first say that there is a difference between prediction and hype.
Yeah,
hype
of course,
is on one
course.
Side. Prediction
Who am I talking
is,
to, right?
yeah. Prediction is on the other side. And trust me, I've been in that arena before doing TV for over 16 years. It seems that you get this groundswell of everybody wants to know about it. And oftentimes the meteorologists are on the front lines going, okay, we know this is bad. We know this is a significant severe weather threat moving through the third largest city in the United States. Yeah, I think any time that happens, you have to talk about it from a standpoint of people need to know about it. To answer your question, did it live up to its hype? Probably not. But again, all it takes is one tornado to move through, you know, a small village and, you know, produce catastrophic damage, and all of a sudden it does live up to its hype. So I think that's kind of a tough question to have a simple answer to.
Yeah, right.
The bottom line is, to answer your question, much of the Chicagoland area from a city standpoint literally has escaped the wrath of any tornadic activity. I've been looking at some of the observations at both O'Hare and Midway, 41 mile per hour winds at O'Hare, 30 at Midway. Those are certainly below severe criteria, which is right around 50 to 55 miles per hour. True, an inch and a half of rain came down and they had to shut down the soccer match at Soldier Field, but it still appears that the southern areas, generally areas south and along of I-88, are still under the threat and will be for probably the next couple of hours.
So for when we think about storms, especially storms in the summer, in June, it's really about the wind gusts, how fast the wind is for it to be considered severe.
Yeah, because what you need for severe weather, you need winds greater than 55 miles per hour. You need hail greater than 1 inch, or the presence of any tornado. That's really the three you know elements of severe weather. Flooding, believe it or not, is not an element of severe weather, though many people at flooded basins would argue that that point. But generally speaking, once we get out of the middle of September into July and August, we generally tend to have more of a heavy rain event, more of a wind event. We kind of lose the potential to have hail. We kind of lose the potential to have tornadoes. But as we've all experienced so far this June, we've had 2 or 3 days of warm weather followed by a couple of days of stormy weather followed by a couple of days of cool weather. So even though we've had, you know, temperatures well into the 80s, this month has been acting more like the month of May rather than the month of June.
Yeah, well, always great to talk with you, Rick. I wish it was under different circumstances. You should come in for like 2 hours when it's beautiful and sunny out, and we can just talk about this stuff.
Yeah, we can talk about storms in the past. But,
yeah, right.
But just to be on just to make sure people understand, those areas under the threat for tornado, small moving, or I should say small storms, fast moving. It's probably not going to last more than about 15 or 20 minutes. But much of the area is north of I-80 at this point. Just some wind and some rain, and that should be about
it. There you go. Former meteorologist for CBS2 and Fox 32 Chicago, Rick DeMaio. He's currently a professor of aviation meteorology at Lewis University. Rick, thanks for joining us tonight.
Have a good night. Be safe, guys.
Here's a fascinating tidbit for you, just brought in by a texter. Rick DeMaio mentioned that it was the Coal City tornado was 6 or 7 months ago. No, it was a year ago today. That time, what he's talking about, I know what he's talking about, and I remember it was early on when I started here. It was in June, and we had to do the whole thing, and there was the Coal City and following the tornado and the severe weather that was moving east. And that was, and Rick was on, and it was on, it was a roll up the sleeves moment here on the download early on. But that was 1 year ago. It is interesting, isn't it? When you think about weather patterns and severe weather and the fact that, you know, so much is being called upon when it comes to climate change and severe weather. And sometimes these patterns emerge like the third week in June. That's just time for some severe weather. Still some warnings and watches out there, so be careful. Check your local. I mean, you could. I think that they'll. There's ways to do that now. I mean, they put warnings on phones and things like that. I was going to say check your local listings. like that's a thing. But it is 9 o'clock, so I'm sure if you need to find out anything about the weather patterns in your area of the listening region, you can go and check it out with the news, the 9 o'clock news, or, of course, online. What a great show tonight. We not only had Chicago celebrities on like Patrick Kane and former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, but we also had WGN royalty on the program, Steve Cochran. And now joining us, more WGN royalty, John Williams.
Yeah, right. You know, I was listening to Cochran, and then he said, "Where's my throne?" And I thought, wait a minute, that's my bit. I know you're the morning guy on WGN.
You're stealing your bits now. Yeah.
I did the thing about the king before Cochran was even here, okay? Could somebody wake him up, please, and tell him he can't steal my bit?
Yeah,
I'm listening.
Right.
I'm listening to you, Kaufman.
Yeah, that's good. John Williams, of course, you can hear his show every Saturday here on WGN Radio 1 to 3. He's coming back to the Mac Center at the College of DuPage for his annual president's show where he interviews former presidents. Last year, we had the conversation about Thomas Jefferson.
Right, right.
This year, and I'm really excited about this, one of my favorite presidents, Teddy Roosevelt.
We were concocting the ad today, so I was talking to Sarah in the office, and she said, "Well, what should the ad be like?" And I, you know, so we're trying to put our heads together, and I said, "Okay, who do you want for president? Like a bombastic bragger or a career politician?" How about both? Teddy Roosevelt, because there were elements of him in Hillary Clinton,
right.
And there were elements of him certainly in Donald Trump,
right.
In that he was, you know, loud and self-promoting, but his whole career was in service in one level or another. So he's kind of the worst or best of both worlds.
Well, the show's August 13th. It's at the Mac. Tickets are now on sale. John, you know, how much have you become sort of a presidential scholar by doing these interviews, by being involved in the act of interviewing former presidents, you know, people who play former presidents? How much have you learned about our past presidents?
I really have a lot. And, you know, the first comeuppance for me was the first time I did this, it's the same guy that portrays two of them. I don't want to look behind the curtain too much here, but there's this presidential scholar named Clay Jenkinson. He's a mm-hmm. Rhodes Scholar. He is... he's really good. He's probably America's foremost scholar on Thomas Jefferson. So I interviewed him one time about, you know, as Thomas Jefferson, and I said, "Now, which one did you write, the Constitution or the other thing?" Since then, I've kind of picked up a little bit on Jefferson. And then, you know, he said, "Listen, I do a pretty mean Roosevelt," and as it turns out, he does. And as thoughtful and humorous as a Jefferson show is, the Roosevelt show is just like bombastic and braggadocious. He just comes on stage, kind of pushes me aside, starts telling stories about charging up San Juan Hill. You know, so many sayings that are still in our lexicon, too, like, you know, speak softly, carry a big stick, or good to the last drop, all came from Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. So he comes on to stage with us, and you're right, it's going to be August 13th, 10 a.m., College of DuPage. And I think that what we've done is really brilliant, or the GN staff has. They said, let's bring Roosevelt in now, but then the weekend before the presidential election, Jefferson, we'll do a Jefferson show at the same location. I don't know what's going to be happening in November, but Jefferson will be there to sort of talk about the pros and cons of our process and the candidates and all of that. Yeah. So it's going to be really, I think the timing is good.
Well, you know, I like Teddy Roosevelt. It's interesting. I just went on a fam vacation to see my brother in San Francisco. He lives right outside of San Francisco. So he went to Yosemite. And Yosemite was all they did in the tour was talking about Teddy Roosevelt, talking
about
preservationist and being one of the first environmentalist presidents. I mean, he has a lot about him that people don't recognize, that he was a big part of what we know now as, you know, the national parks.
Yeah, he was a trust buster, but you can thank the national park system to Teddy Roosevelt. And that goes from the Everglades to Alaska. I mean, he just had this grand vision. And he was one of those people, too, who, and, you know, it'd be very interesting to see what a Roosevelt would be like today and who he would be today. But if the Congress or the laws or the people didn't give him the right to do what he wanted to do, he would just do it anyway, you know. and that's Roosevelt. And you just want to hug him. But when he was elected, or, you know, he wasn't elected, when he claimed the presidency after McKinley's assassination, everybody looked around and said, oh, my God, what have we done? Now he's the president. They gave him the vice presidency just to shut him up. And then he became the president. So I don't know what the takeaway from that is. But if it's Bernie, Hillary or Donald Trump and you go, holy cow, how will we ever survive this? That's exactly how they felt when TR became president.
I find that really, I mean, history repeats itself, or at least history, you know, going to history to be able to deal with what's happening in the present.
Absolutely.
But you hear so much hyperbole about, oh, this is the worst. If this happens, it's nothing like history. But history is riddled with situations that are very similar to what's happening right now in American politics.
Particularly when you think about campaigning and we say, all right, Donald Trump's calling Hillary a liar. Hillary says every chapter in Donald Trump's book ends in chapter 11,
that's a good
which
line.
Is a good line, by the way. But, you know, kind of Hillary, I don't want her to go there because she'll lose if she thinks she can outquip Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
But either way, what Jefferson and those guys called each other and what they did would make you blush to even today. Now, this is a Roosevelt show. And if you go to WGNradio.com/events, we have all the events that we're involved in. There's Steve Bertrand's trip. There's Bill and Wendy's interview with Mary Schmeek there. It's really good. I'm not sure why that's on the events page. Maybe it was such an awesome interview, it's on the events page.
Sure.
But anyway, it's good stuff. And then you'll see a page that's dedicated to our interview with Teddy Roosevelt. The tickets actually go on sale Tuesday, June 28th.
Well, they're already on sale.
Well, the page is up, but I don't think there's a link there to buy them yet, Justin. So
get in line like it's Hamilton.
Well,
right?
Really, that's the funny thing. When Jefferson comes to town in November, Hamilton will be here. That's going to be awkward. But in the meantime, the reason I wanted to come on your show today is just to kind of tell your listeners, circle June 28th, that's Tuesday. Make a point to go to WGNradio.com/events. And the link and information on how you can get tickets will be there. These shows always sell out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they sell out in an hour. Sometimes it's in a week. But I think this is really, really going to be a fun, funny, exciting year to see TR
absolutely.
On stage. And you get to ask him questions, so it'll be fun.
I love it. John Williams, you can hear John every Saturday, 1 to 3 here. You got to go to the page, WGNradio.com/events. But also, it's going to be at the Mac Center at DuPage, College of DuPage. The show is actually on August 13th. Tickets are going to go on sale next week on the 20th. Always a pleasure, John. Looking forward to it.
And I just want to repeat what Steve Cochran said earlier. He said, you know, what you guys are doing in the evening is just fantastic. So
thanks, man.
Keep up the good work. And if Cochran comes on again and says he has, you're going to help me out on this, right?
I will. I didn't know that. I should have done my, it's on me. I should have done more fact preparing for this.
If anybody does their homework, it's you guys. You're the homework king.
I know,
right? Zimmerman's fired. Okay.
I should have known. You're the throne. You have a throne.
Thank
Cochran's
you,
borrowing
friend.
Your throne. Thanks, buddy.
Keep up the good work. I'm MVP.
and you're not. I swear I'm killing these boys. Check out the teardrop. Only aim to be the best, nothing less than that. Right now I'm headed for the ring, wrestling match and all. You don't go as hard as I go. I do this for my fam and I do this for Chicago. An artist in the paint, call me Leonardo. The fans on their feet before I land on my feet.
Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We've been talking about it all night. Wow. The end of the Derrick Rose era in Chicago. He's traded to the Knicks for pieces. We'll just say that, for pieces. Sam Panionovich joins us now. He covers hoops for WGN Radio. Good to see
you,
Sam.
Good to see you. I didn't think we'd be talking about this tonight when I woke up this morning. Right.
We had planned to talk about the draft, but is this a shocker for you? I mean, we had talked all year round about something needed to change, and it looks like this is the change.
You thought it was coming, but even when it comes across, it still shocks you. Does that make sense? I mean, I think you were shocked. I was shocked. The fact that they actually made a bold move is welcome because this team has been mediocre for so long. They were the number two team in the East around Christmas. Then the bottom fell out. They missed the playoffs, and, you know, it was all status quo. They finally come out and make an actual move. They didn't talk about something they didn't do. They did this,
right,
and they get him out. I think the biggest, you know, flashpoint that I take out of it, the Rose headaches are over. Not one time next season will you think about, oh, is he going to get hurt? Is he going to play? What's he going to say? What do we have to control? He's out of your hair. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to have a good season with the Knicks. I think he's going to be pretty solid next year because he played good down the stretch last year. But this is a commitment to an eventual plan that they're rebuilding. Even though Gar Forman calls it a retool, it's a rebuild.
Now, you were at the press conference today at the United Center. What was the vibe? Are we talking rebuild, or are we talking are they talking about the idea of attracting free agents, bringing in players, and essentially competing for a title next year?
He called it a retool.
What
Not
that,
a rebuild,
what does that
it's a
mean?
Retool. I don't know. I don't think he knows. He was caught off guard by a couple questions, including when somebody asked him about the cap space for next year. He was doing numbers in his head, and he went, and you can see him carrying the one, you know, over his shoulder. The overlying theme is that they're trying to get younger, more athletic, and find players that fit into Fred Hoiberg's system. They didn't think Derrick Rose was one. They believe this 40-year-old point guard, Jose Calderon, is a good get. He's 40. Robin Lopez, a.k.a. Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons, he comes in. He's going to replace Joakim Noah, even though Gar Forman wouldn't admit to that. He said they're going to talk on July 1st. Joe's gone. Derek's gone. You've got pretty much one guy that's a Thibodeau guy, Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson, right.
From the initial group, and then you've got Jimmy Butler, of course. But this is a full-scale change because in the NBA, and you watch the finals, the teams with the best players usually go far. You need a couple of them. Right now the Bulls have one.
Let's talk about that one. Jimmy Butler becomes the heir apparent and the star here on the Chicago Bulls. Is he ready for the challenge to be the sort of the one-man band here in Chicago?
He's got to prove something, and he's paid like a number one. Didn't always act like a number one, including calling out his coach about 25 games into his first season. Had a blow-up with Joakim Noah that I think a lot of people don't know about because Jimmy got paid, and then Jimmy thought automatically, this is my team, and there was some, you know, opposition there. Now it's his team. I mean, if it isn't any more clear that this is the guy that they're going to plan around, you've heard the rumors about them possibly trading him. These deals suck, the deals that are rumored. I mean, do you want a power forward and a three pick in a draft that's pretty weak? It's not better than Jimmy Butler.
Obviously, trading Jimmy Butler would mean that's a rebuild.
That's a white flag. That's we're losing 70 games next year. If you trade Jimmy Butler, they're going to be awful. If they trade Jimmy Butler, that team next year, if you offered me tickets, I wouldn't go.
Yeah, that's probably why they're not going
to
trade him.
Put it this way. Like I said, you need multiple great players to win a championship. Their two best players, Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler from last year, one's gone, and they're shopping the other.
Let's talk about Derrick Rose. What a career here. I mean, obviously, we had a lot of pride for Derrick Rose.
And it starts at the high school level,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, he played exactly. I mean, he played at Simeon. He had a tremendous, tremendous high school career. We even followed him as a Chicagoan when we went to Memphis. It was destiny in the way that the number one pick fell into the Bulls' lap by magic. Derrick Rose then has tremendous playoff run against Boston, that seven-game series where we got to see flashes. Then an MVP. The first MVP and the only MVP since Michael Jordan, and now he's gone.
I think Gar Forman said it best. You know, Derek was a guy that used to give us clarity. He was a guy that when we looked on paper at our roster in his first four seasons in the league, you knew you had a star, a rising star, that you could build around. Everything changed in April of 2012 when he tears his ACL in Game 1 against the Sixers. They were up, I think, 15 points in Game 1. They were going to sweep the Sixers. They could have won a title that year, but that's sports for you. That's life for you. Things happen, and he tears that ACL. He had another injury the next year. He had three surgeries in 4 years, I believe, and he was just never the same player. But he's the ultimate what-if athlete for the Chicago Bulls.
And, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, he goes to New York. He goes to play for Phil Jackson, who's general manager there. Talk about, you know, a resurgence, if you will, for Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose liked to play with a chip on his shoulder. He obviously proved that in the MVP season where he was like, I'm better than what people say I am. He kind of lost that chip after the knee injuries, and it almost felt a little bit complacent because of the way Chicago media treated him. Let's talk about, does he have a chance to be the Derrick Rose of old in New York?
The Derrick Rose of old, no. He's never going to be the guy that flies above the rim and is crossing everybody up and twisting, turning, contorting, flipping up, you know, ridiculous layup shots. That Derrick Rose is gone. That's just physically impossible for him to do what he used to do. That being said, though, I like the spread in New York. You got Carmelo Anthony. Finally, Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony get to play together.
Yeah, right.
It's not in Chicago. It's in New York. Although they'll be in Chicago, you know, if they're healthy, they'll be here a couple times.
They won't be healthy. You know, you just know Derrick will not be dressed for the games in
Kristaps
Chicago.
Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah. Godzilla from Latvia. Yeah. And then there's a rumor now that Phil Jackson wants Dwight Howard. So, I mean, on paper, those are four pretty decent players that have star power and that are all-stars, and that would be interesting to watch. But I think Derrick is actually going to have a good season next year. I think he can give you 20 points, 7 assists, maybe 4 rebounds a game. You'll take those numbers. Plus, it's a contract year, and he's going to want to get paid next year. He talked about that last summer.
All right, so let's talk about, I mean, you hear the rumors that Phil Jackson may want Dwight Howard. For the Bulls and the summer free agents, Dwight Howard's a big one. Kevin Durant's a big one. Do the Chicago Bulls look to factor into any sort of free agent plays this summer?
They haven't got a top-tier free agent. I can't remember the last one they got.
How dare you put Boozer down?
On all of them, and they're not getting Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is not going to leave the Thunder to come here. You know, they were a game away from the finals. He's not going to come to this mess. Dwight Howard, don't think you want him. Think they vetted him. That was an option in the past. Never happened. If it's Harrison Barnes, I'm going to puke.
He's coming off the Golden State Warriors, a big piece of that team, but he is just a role player.
But if you follow the Bulls organization, it's one that's built around connections. And Harrison Barnes, where's he from? He's from Iowa. That's where Gar Foreman loves to pluck players out of, and he played in high school with Doug McDermott. And he's going to get paid now because the cap just went up to like $94 million. So the Bulls will have some money. But just please don't be Harrison Barnes. I'm not a fan.
Well, I mean, what can we expect as Bulls fans without Derrick Rose? The players that are coming in, draft pick number 14, the young guys who kind of took a step back last year. Do we expect a competitive team from this Bulls roster?
No, I think they're going to lose even more games this next year. I don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to be able to stand it. You know, he's from the old guard. He's trying to play for this new coach, but he did impress me the way he led last year when things got sour. And he was supposed to be the guy that kept them alive for a playoff spot, and he couldn't do it. And that thing crumbled and bubbled over. If you could trade him, the only way you trade him is if you can get a guy like Andrew Wiggins from Minnesota. Don't think that happens. I think Tom Thibodeau wants to keep him. But to answer your question, you're not going to have really that many high-caliber players. You'll have Jimmy Butler, Robin Lopez, okay. You've got the 40-year-old point guard. You've got the 21-year-old point guard from Notre Dame. You've got Mirotić. You've got McDermott. You've got Bobby Portis.
Tony Snell. Don't forget the Snell. Snelly cat.
If I say to you, hey, I've got two tickets around 200 level, you can have them. Are you taking them for that mess?
I probably still would.
Okay. Well,
I'm such a Bulls fan.
So they're going to look to get creative. They're going to have even more money off the books the next year. So you hope that you can land a free agent. But right now you're in the middle between the really good teams and the really bad teams, and there's no quick fix.
Sam Panionovich covers the Bulls for WGN Radio. I hope you're wrong, Sam. I hope this team turns around.
That's what my parents always say.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, more on Derrick Rose. Talk about legacy. A lot of the conversations we've had tonight, and I've heard on you know, in the newspapers and different places, has to do with his value, has to do with his injury, has to do with, you know, what the Bulls are going to do next. But Derrick Rose is a Chicagoan, and he was a real proud, a real success story for Chicagoans. The idea of growing up in Inglewood and going to Simeon High School, heading out to Memphis where we watched him in the final game, the championship game of that March Madness tournament, to being drafted magically by the Chicago Bulls, and playing here and having success and becoming the youngest MVP ever. For him to have that teary-eyed speech when he won the MVP where he just talks directly to his mom. I don't know. There's just something really, really special about having an athlete who was homegrown here who beat odds to be able to come and be a star, the hometown Chicago Bulls. And to see that kind of be pushed away or moved to New York or just kind of, you know, as if good riddance. Well, good. We got Lopez. It doesn't seem like that's enough for me. 312-981-7200. What I'd like to do is talk about the legacy of Derrick Rose. As I kind of joked about in the carryouts today, I don't know how I feel. I like him and I hate him. You know, like I'm not sure as a sports fan, you know, what to think. And there is a little bit as the story continues tonight, there's a little bit of nostalgia. I know he didn't win an NBA championship, but he was the youngest MVP in basketball history. And before he had terrible injuries, he was, you know, in Game 5 of an Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
You know, a lot can be said about guys who didn't win when they had to play LeBron James.
What? Yeah, because I'm the same way. I mean, I love Derrick Rose. I love the story. Loved everything. But then the last few years, it's like, let me guess, Derrick Rose is sitting.
Right.
You get frustrated. And then I was thinking about, like, what about, like, a guy like Kerry Wood? Like,
very similar.
Like, beloved, though.
But very similar. And Rob Martier called it out in the crosstalk with Rowan Anna. The attitude plays a part. Derrick Rose is sort of aloof kind of attitude where he didn't necessarily care one way or another about being here in Chicago. And he talked about, you know, I want to be able to think about my career. He's talking about his contract next year.
Yeah.
In the, you know, there's a lot of that. And it almost felt, you know, it felt almost like he was fed up with Chicago and Chicago was fed up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. And yeah. And I think about, someone brought this up. I saw this on Facebook. You know, there was that one year where Derrick Rose could have come back. Remember, that was the other thing that really, as a fan, you just started to get just such a bitter taste in your mouth when they're like, Derrick Rose is on the court. He's practicing. Oh, he's shooting. He was at the shoot-around before the playoff game. He's going to be back. Joakim Noah says we need him. Luol Deng says we need him. And then, you know, he says, well, I got to think about myself, not the team. I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Had he come out and simply said something along the lines of, look, I'm very sorry. My body is betraying me right now. I'm going to do the best I can to get back on the floor.
I'll be back next year better than ever.
And apologized. All the Bulls fans would have been like, nah, you know what? Yeah, right. All right, we get it.
And we gave him a lot of leeway.
I think so.
I mean, Bulls fans for years were like, hey, man, he's out. It's an injury. It's terrible. I mean, they even made, in a strange way, you know, they marketed the fact that he was hurt. And there was that commercial, I think it was an Adidas commercial, where, like, there's a sound of the sound of the weights, you know, and everyone could hear him working out, and all of Chicago had stopped in their tracks when he was hurt, but we could hear the clanking of the weights. Derek's coming back. Derek's coming back. I mean, they fed into it. There was almost like a cottage industry on Derrick Rose's injury. And that also played, I think, into it. So let's talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll get some guests in here. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to contribute to that conversation. We'll also get you updated on severe weather and what's happening in Northwest Indiana now. So download here on WGN. Stay with us.
Loud like church folk, heavy like work, low. How you like Merc Coast, never sang Kirk F. Bang like Kirk Go, ankle like Kirk, came back like Dirk Rose. She always get in her own way. When I try, she always say, hey.
Such a great track, Pete. Thanks for playing that. Derrick Rose, out of Chicago. It's tough. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Feeling very nostalgic tonight for some reason for a player that was very temperamental, a player that was obviously up and obviously down in Chicago, and a player that you heard a lot today, good riddance. And, you know, I don't know. I really enjoyed the storyline of Derrick Rose. Kid from Chicago who the Bulls got very lucky in a lottery, some would say a fix, to be able to get Derrick Rose to play in Chicago. He played here in Chicago. There's nothing like having a kid who grew up here on the south side of Chicago play for the Chicago Bulls and dominate the league. And he did dominate the league. He was the youngest MVP in NBA history. And, you know, his style of play was a style that I think embodied Chicago. This idea of taking it to the house, you know, going down a lane and being smaller than your opponents and being able to through your athleticism, through your grit, your determination, be able to score even though the odds are against you. And there's something about Derrick Rose, and he put his body on the line. And obviously that turned out the way it turned out. But Derrick Rose should hold his head high for a great career, I believe, here in Chicago, even though it didn't turn out the way that many would have hoped. Jack Silverstein joins us now. He's the official sports historian and statistician for this program, The Download. He's also the author of How the GOAT Was Built, story of the 1996 Chicago Bulls. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I'm not feeling great.
It's like it's very.
I've tried to fight through it all day, and there was a lot going on with the crazy Periscope live broadcast from the House of Representatives and protests at City Hall, and I just throughout all of it could not get my head around how this story of this chosen son of the city ended. I'm still kind of flabbergasted.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because Derrick Rose obviously means a lot to the people of Chicago, because it is something of a story, a great sports tale about the kid from the courts of Inglewood who rose to, no pun intended, to the heights of the United Center. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, it was a great story. It should have been an even better story. I mean, when you say he's a guy who Chicago loves, I mean, my first reaction is he? Yeah. Is he really a guy who we love? I haven't even begun to really process this as a basketball move, like really looking at the basketball merits. I mean, like, I know who we got, I know the cap figures and I know the roster and all that, but I can't get around this fact that for the last 4 years, quote unquote Bulls fans have been dogging this guy and denigrating him at every turn and calling him out for being injured, calling him out for being paid. This is a guy who stepped forward and was a voice, not as much like a vocal voice, but a voice in action of all of the key ills that afflict our city. He was outspoken on gun violence. He was a supporter of Chicago youth. He was the man who started the I Can't Breathe t-shirt trend that then blew up in the NBA and then went to the NFL. He was a guy who cried, you know, when they at press conferences and thanked his parents and I'm sorry, his parents, geez, thanked his mother and his family and a guy who said, why can't I be the MVP, and just meant it and was humble about it and he wasn't
flashy like at the time Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. He wasn't the kind of player that that necessarily complained about every call. I mean, there was something about Derrick Rose where he just put – there's a moment I remember about Derrick Rose when they were at one of the All-Star games, and it might have been the All-Star game after the MVP or the MVP season, where they were all dancing and they'd come out.
He wouldn't dance.
He's like, I'm just here to play basketball. He didn't really like LeBron James, which was kind of fun for Chicago. He did all the right things when he was on top.
You know, people talk about – oh, he was a lousy teammate. Yeah, here's how lousy of a teammate he was. He wouldn't openly recruit free agents because he felt it was disrespectful to his actual current teammate.
Right.
A friend of mine who covers the team and who's around Derek's age, and they had their children around the same time, so they got to know each other pretty well. He summed it up for me, and he said, because this was in 2010 when we were looking at possibly James or Wade or Bosh, Amari Stoudemire, and I said, you know, it's unusual that a guy wouldn't speak up and try to get somebody here. And then in 2011, I said, well, what about Keith Bogans? Are we going to replace him? Does Derek like him? And my buddy Chris said, listen, Derrick Rose's attitude is that he will win a game if he's on the team. He goes, if it's him, you, me, and two guys from the Y, Derek's ready to roll.
I love it. Derrick Rose, of course, traded to the New York Knicks today. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, it says we see on Twitter, I mean, we should be upset about that as well. I mean, he's going to the Knicks of all teams. But Derrick Rose, you know, he's a tale of two NBA players. I mean, after his knee injury, which happened at the most inopportune time, happened during a playoff game in a season in which Chicagoans had such optimism that they had a chance to take on the Miami Heat that season. You know, after the knee injuries, or even during the knee injuries, Derrick Rose kind of became the object of a lot of, I don't want to say ridicule, but became the object of a lot of fans' ire.
Yeah, and this is something that has bothered me throughout these 4 years. And I think what bothered me most now is knowing that he won't be able to write a new ending with Chicago. But there's this notion from fans that you have to live, I don't want to say you have to live up to your contract, but that somehow being injured violates the spirit of your contract, that you're not allowed to be hurt and take time to get back. I mean, do these people know what it's like to blow out a knee, get better, and then blow out the other knee? I mean, are a eighth of the people complaining about this guy? Have they gone through anything like this? Have they gone through this at their job? Have they gone through this, their passion? It's unbelievable. And people act like athletes get paid too much money. It's like, yo, if you have $1 million, you don't pay someone $900,000. If you have $10, you don't pay someone $9. So the idea that Derek's making too much money at $90 million, believe me, Jerry Reinsdorf, he's all right. All right. No team owner pays a salary that they can't afford. So why we look at players who bring us so much joy and love and memories and then begrudge them their salaries, or why we look at Derek and say, how dare you be hurt and not come back? I mean, there is so much going on that fans don't know about. I won't pretend to be privy to it, but the way that people turned on this guy,
yeah,
it's a shame. And I look at what's going on and Cleveland today, and Cleveland fans, who I feel great for, they were guilty of it as well, burning jerseys, and now, you know, he comes back. But it's like,
maybe that
story should have been Derek's story.
Maybe,
you know,
that's what could happen for us. Maybe the Derek Rose comes back. 312-981-7200. What do you think? Are we on with, were the Bulls fans a little too hard on Derek Rose through all the injuries? Jack Silverstein's on the line with us. He's the official sports historian and statistician for this program. He's also the author of How the GOAT Was Built, the story of the 96 Bulls. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us. So put him up like a robbery. A Derrick Rose live to me and watch and see a alley hooping properly. Football, a volley beat, hockey, a soccer league. We could just bring out all the Derrick Rose raps that have been from the last, that says a lot. I mean, the last 5 years of Derrick Rose's career. We're talking about the legacy of Derrick Rose now that he is a New York Knick. Jack Silverstein joins me on the line. He's the official sports historian and statistician for The Download, also the author of How the GOAT Was Built, the story of the 96 Bulls. Let's bring in Tom. Tom, what's your thought on Derrick Rose?
Well, it's not so much a thought. It's just almost a commentary.
Ah, I lost him. Hit the wrong button there. Sorry about that. Call us back, Tom. Sorry about that. Jackie there?
Yeah, I'm here, absolutely.
He was ready to talk about the idea of leadership, and that was a big concern. And he'll call back. Here, let me throw some text at you. We were fortunate
absolutely
to get Derrick Rose, and I enjoyed watching him play, but a lot has changed when he was injured and chose not to come back and play when he could have. The Bulls could never move forward and get good talent if they were still paying for Derrick Rose. And that was something we heard earlier, too, about the idea that there seemed to be some discord between the team and Derrick Rose when it came to him coming back from the injuries and him choosing to essentially skip out until he was perfectly ready.
Yeah, but they kind of hung him out to dry on that. I mean, they gave the sense, we're talking about the 2013 season, the team kind of gave the sense that, like, oh yeah, he might be back. We're going to see. We don't know. But from what I've always been told from people who I know Derek and who are in the locker room, that was never the case from him. He was always going to wait and see, you know, how he felt. So the Bulls, from my understanding, kind of threw him under the bus on that one.
Yeah, and it's...
And maybe, well, one second, maybe my information is wrong. That's totally possible. But you know what? The fans who are saying, oh, he was cleared and he should have come back, they don't know either. And the fact that fans are so quick to just assume that this guy is dogging it, that this guy is staying out of the lineup on purpose, that he's waiting or he's not happy with it. But you know, where's your loyalty? I mean, people always talk about, gosh, I wish, you know, players aren't loyal to franchises. Are franchises loyal to players? Are fans loyal to players? Come on.
312-981-7200. One of the issues we've heard a lot about has been Derrick Rose and his relationship with the media, which has been strained of late. You've seen the Chicago Sun-Times of note kind of going at Derrick Rose and all the different things. But also, you know, Derrick doesn't do himself too many favors when he's, you know, when his quote, are you looking forward to the season? Well, I'm looking forward to next season. I don't want to, you know, my contract's up. Like doing all the things that professional athletes want to avoid just for image alone.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He could use some more media training. I don't think anybody's arguing that. A friend of mine pointed out that it's tough for fans who root for a franchise whose greatest player ever played through a flu or a stomach virus Actually, I saw one guy post that it was probably just too much Hennessy the night before, but whatever the case, you know, I guess that's a fair point. I mean, my feeling is this guy, he's from Chicago. He gave the team everything he had. He had these two horrific injuries, and people turned on him real fast. And meanwhile, this is a guy who off the court is doing everything that fans want. He's supporting the community. He's being a role model to youth. It bugs me. I'm happy for him. Right. And obviously the Bulls don't think that he is going to be someone who can come back and burn them because they traded him inside the conference, which almost never happens. Right. So obviously that's their opinion of his status. And I'm still a Bulls fan, and I still hope that this works out, and I will stay true to the Bulls. But I just don't understand everybody so immediately turning on someone who was so great for the city. I don't get it.
Jack Silverstein is the official sports historian and statistician for the Download here. He's also the author of How the Goat Was Built, the story of the 96 Bulls. Jack, thanks for taking some time out tonight and talking with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin. And, you know, looking forward to next season. And hey, all best to Derek and to Joe Keefe.
All right, 312-981-7200. You got a thought on Derrick Rose? Give it to us now. We'll take a break, get updated on some severe weather, and we'll continue our conversation about the legacy of Derrick Rose here in the city of Chicago. Stay with us. All right, we'll continue talking about Derrick Rose. Mike, George, some of the texters, stay on the line. We will get to your stuff right after the news. Rob Martier, you had a thought on Derrick Rose. I mean, obviously Derrick Rose leaving today in a trade via New York. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that the Bulls may have been a little bit handcuffed. There may have been some things where Derrick Rose said, I want out. And that could have been.
I mean, we don't know the conversations that took place behind closed doors. And maybe there were some innuendos and some insinuations that he didn't want to stay here anymore. But, look, Chicago is a tough place to play in the sense that I think we are forgiving by and large. But when you look at athletes like Walter Payton, like Michael Jordan, like Dick Butkus, like Brian Urlacher, you know, name countless numbers of members of the Blackhawks, tough guys like that have played in this city. That's a tough act to follow if your body's betraying you. And you also mentioned Jay Cutler as well. You can kind of put him in the same milieu.
We don't do well when guys sit out because of injuries. I mean, it was Cutler in the NFC Championship game where he had a sprained knee.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't know he's got his jacket on the side, but, I mean, we're used to, and I'll never forget, Mike Singletary doing the post-game interview. He's like, and I think Sudbury asked him, like, what's wrong with your hand? He's like, I got the finger from my knuckle got ripped off.
Yeah.
And he still played. Like, he's just like, yeah, we taped it up and I played because it's, you know, this is a conference game. It wasn't even a playoff game. It was a conference game. So I think you're right in the sense that that's the lore. If you're an athlete in Chicago, you have to understand what came before you.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Seattle. I mean, that's what they do there. Here, you know.
All right, there we go. We got severe weather in the area, of course. We'll continue our conversation with about Derrick Rose's legacy. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Big night tonight for Chicago sports. Patrick Kane gets the MVP in the NHL, and Derrick Rose traded to the New York Knicks. What? I can't believe I just said that. I don't know, Pete. That would getting that tightness in my chest right now. That's no. I don't like that. I don't like. I just don't like it. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what do you think of the Derrick Rose trade?
Hey, how you doing? I love your show, by the way.
Thanks, man.
We moved down to Austin, Texas. My boy wanted to play real high school football.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were down there, the Final Four was in San Antonio. And a friend of ours does the color commentary for the San Antonio Spurs, so he got us some great seats. We were sitting behind the benches, and, you know, there were a handful of NBA scouts sitting behind us. And I couldn't tell you if it was 7, 8, or 9, but it was one of those numbers. Mm. And the majority of them were saying, when Derrick Rose makes it to the NBA, he will break down. And we are diehard Bulls fans. We went to every playoff game that Michael Jordan ever played in Chicago. And when the Bulls got Derrick Rose, we were jumping up and down. We're thinking, holy Toledo, how lucky can the Bulls be? But we never forgot what those scouts said about Derrick. And one thing I want to say this. I'd like to brag for a second. When I said my kid wanted to play real high school football, listen to this for a team. Our quarterback was Nick Foles.
Wow.
And if you Googled Nick Foles Westlake, that was a high school, and you watch the clip, watch his first four passes on YouTube, you'll be amazed. And our kicker was Justin Tucker.
Oh, wow. Ravens.
And Justin, he used to kick off, and every kickoff for the game went through the upright. And our tight end was a guy by the name of Kyle Adams, who played with Lovie Smith
and
the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we had Ryan Swope, and he went to A&M. He played with Johnny Football, and he's with the Arizona Cardinals.
That's
quite
a lineup.
He had I got to tell you what, that was our high school team. And I got to say one thing. I heard you say talk about Cutler. In 1992, I was blessed where I met an attorney, and we put a guy named John Elway in the carpet. And before John took over the player personnel, he gave me a ration of, you know what? And he said, you know what? Give the Bear fans 3.5 years of Cutler, and you'll want to run the guy out of town. I thought that was always a pretty interesting comment.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for that update.
I enjoy your show.
Thanks, man. Thank you for the story. That's a great story. Rob, you got something?
Yeah, real quick, Justin, the National Weather Service issuing a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Iroquois County. That's in east central Illinois, Benton County, and northwestern Indiana. This one will remain in effect until 11:45. Particularly strong, this one. It's a line extending from near Walcott to near Watsika. It's moving southeast at about 45 miles per hour. These are very dangerous storms, 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts, and nickel-sized hail as well.
Yeah, thank you. That's what Rick DeMaio talked about. You know, it's those gusts. If those gusts get up over 60 miles per hour, that's what makes a dangerous storm, especially with the humidity now. So pay attention to that if you're in that area. Mike's, wow, what an amazing amount of players from one high school.
That's a team.
Right.
Did he say they won anything?
Yeah, that's what he left. They lost. They went 3-6. It is Texas football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a lot of teams like that. That's interesting. 312-981-7200. I I've heard that before. I don't know if it's true. You know, the idea that Derrick Rose and the way he played and his body and everything about him, because he was so aggressive. Mm-hmm. And he would go in with the trees. You know, when I say the trees, the centers that are mm-hmm. 7 foot. Yeah. And his game is made in the paint. It always was. I remember, I've heard a lot about that. And I always feel like I'm not sure. I'm not well-versed in basketball bodies to know if he's well-equipped for that kind of play or not. But there's always been talk among NBA fans and Chicago Bulls fans that at some point or another, Derek was going to break down. I remember the game, and Bulls fans, and I'd like to hear your recollections and your stories and the things you remember about Derrick Rose. But even before his rookie of the year, I think it was a rookie season, may have been a second season, where they went to that Game 7 showdown with the Celtics, and that Celtics team with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, uh-huh. and the Bulls were an 8 seed, I think, and weren't the Celtics a 1 or something like that. And it went 7, and there's that great picture of Joakim Noah yelling. But it was Joakim Noah, Ben Gordon, and Derrick Rose, and Vinny Del Negro. The rest of the team, and I'll never – there's some – I'm bouncing around. But that game, the style of basketball they were playing at that point was get the ball to the top of the key, get it to Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose, we can dribble a couple times – and he was going to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. I mean, maybe there'd be a kick out to Ben Gordon, but that was before Thibodeau came to town. That was just Derrick Rose. There'd be some sort of frenetic energy to get the ball to the top of the key. He'd slow it down, and then he would drive.
Has the point been taken about could possibly Tom Thibodeau –
oh, yeah,
be
right.
responsible for some of his
and you're seeing
injuries,
it with you're seeing you know, it with or... Joakim Noah too, Luol Deng, another one. Is it possible that the style of play mm-hmm. that the coach of the Bulls that had so much success that won so many regular season games but didn't really amount to much in the playoffs was that style too Dusty Baker like in the sense that these were young arms and instead of arms they're knees in basketball?
Yeah.
And guys like, I'm trying to think, because you're seeing a little bit of the effect of those teams, aren't you, on Taj Gibson? He's lost a little bit of step ups. You've seen it a little bit on some of the other players that I'm trying to think of guys that aren't even on the team anymore that were part of that Thibodeau team. But as Sam pointed out, Taj is the only one left.
Yeah.
But there might be something to that. You know, I mean, we'll see. Thibodeau's take, if he learned it, he's got a lot of young knees in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he learned anything. And Jimmy Butler is a part of those Thibodeau teams, and he seems to be okay. But maybe there is something to that.
We were looking at the records. They were 60-20.
They were 62-20 that year that they were. And that was a year that they were still – they may have been the number one seed that year.
Yeah, I think they were.
But all of the scouts had picked the Miami Heat. And if you remember, we had home court advantage in game one against the Miami Heat that season. And this was the first year of the Miami Heat with LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And we had stomped them in the first game. You remember that? Like, we stomped them. And I remember that regular season, too, being so excited for NBA basketball because the Bulls were so good. And the Bulls were the only team that would fight the Heat. Whenever the Heat would... a regular season game, and it'd be like, whoa, Derrick Rose and the Bulls just ran over him. You know, there was something there. Whoa, what's Derrick Rose doing here? People just didn't give the Bulls much respect, and Derrick Rose brought that intensity. I love those teams. I might be in the minority, but those Thibodeau teams were, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, before that, there just wasn't a lot of hope.
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, the carryout, I think, was, you know, 98 to Derrick Rose essentially was rebuilding, and it was so great to have him, and you knew that the arrow was pointing up. And then I remember watching that first playoff game, like excited about Bulls playoffs, and then he goes down against that Sixers, and I remember, like, my heart sunk. You're just like, you're miserable. Yeah. Ugh.
You know, Derrick Rose, I think Derrick needs a change of scenery, but I always enjoyed Derrick Rose in Chicago. We'll miss him here. I hope he does return. I think that there could be some LeBron James, you know, think about LeBron James. He left Cleveland.
So I should not burn my jersey.
Don't burn your Derrick Rose jersey. Mm-hmm. But I truly hope that Derrick Rose has a great resurgence in New York. I hate to say that because I don't like the Knicks and I'm a Bulls fan to ride or die. But, you know, I think that he did wonders for Chicago Bulls fans, and it was great to have a player that overachieved and brought joy to us when all of basketball already anointed a king in Miami. And it was Derrick Rose and the Bulls that represented the other half. And I enjoyed having him here. And you know what? We're so spoiled in Chicago because Bulls win championships. But to have teams that were competitive and went to the Eastern Conference Finals or went to the playoffs, or Nazi Muhammad pushing LeBron James down, even when Derrick wasn't there. You know, like, they were scrappy, and I like that. So, sucks, but such is life.
I mean, how depressing this was without the Bulls and the Hawks losing. I mean, usually you count on a couple of months here in the spring to have the Bulls and the Hawks. I guess we had the Cubs and the Sox starting off well, but still.
No, it's Cubs time now. They've cleared the way. They cleared it out. I think the Bulls did it on purpose. they get swept. I think the Bulls did it on purpose. I think the Bulls were like, you know what? We need to clear all expectations because this is the Cubs year. They're like, get rid of Derrick, get rid of everything. It's Cubs. You know what? Guys, it's your turn. Your turn. So it's all on the Cubs. It's a download here on WGN Radio, coming up pretty late with Patty Vasquez. Also, Rob Martier is going to have an update on severe weather. We've been checking it all night. There has been a confirmed tornado that actually landed in Pontiac, Illinois. And also there's talk of tornado on the ground near Chatsworth. Damage in that area. So we'll continue to keep you updated on that story. It seems like most of the severe weather has moved out of the area except for this one area just south along, I think it's along 55. Just a lot of activity there. Pontiac, Illinois, Dwight, Illinois. Some other areas, like I just mentioned, Chatsworth, still having some trouble. We're tracking severe storms here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. You can check it out all night with Rob Martier, who will be on the scene. So, and you know what? It looks like from Twitter that there is damage from the tornado in Pontiac. So there are a lot of crews and emergency vehicles and the news, of course, on their way to Pontiac to give you an update on tornado that did touch down in Pontiac, Illinois. So we will talk about that with Rob Martier when Rob comes in for his news update just a second. That's going to do it for the download tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Rob updates on Pontiac, and, of course, Patty Vasquez. Stay with us. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Patty Vasquez up next with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. A lot of talk, a lot of activity about a tornado that did touch down in Pontiac, Illinois. Here's the news, which is sponsored by Majestic Star Casino. Rob, that seems to be That seems to be a serious situation. There's a lot of tweets that are coming in talking about different places, telephone poles down, lines. Mm-hmm. Crews are on their way from both media and emergency services to assess the damage in Pontiac and in that area.